This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now, let me ask you a question. What's the main theme of Surah Yusuf? What's the main theme of Surah Yusuf? And we say like two sisters and one brother, right? Okay, yes please. Tawheed. That's one of the ideas. Okay, who can give me many ideas? Because Surah Yusuf, you know, has lots of main themes. But my question was, what's the main theme? Okay? Love. Is this the main idea? Are you attending the fiqh of love? Oh, okay, that's one meaning also. Yes, sister? Patience. That's the word I'm looking for. This is the main idea. You remember Sheikh Waleed? Jazallah khair. He mentioned this while he was talking. He said, how many tests Yusuf alayhi salam was put through the story? That's what we'll share together, inshallah. And I told you the conditions and the circumstances of Mecca at that time. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to tell Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you are suffering and your companions, if you are faced with disbelief and persecution from the people of Mecca, look at what happened to your brother Yusuf. So this is the main lesson, patience. And the next question would be, what is the meaning of patience? What is the meaning of patience? The word patience in Arabic means habs nafs. And that means like you should be in control of yourself. That's the meaning of patience. That's from a linguistic point of view. Now if we move to ask, what are the types of patients? What are the types of patients? There are three types of patients. You should have patience that will make you obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So patience when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Second, you should have patience, again, to be in control of yourself, not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when it comes to the disobedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the third one is patience when it comes to the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we all know the meaning of the word qadr. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts you through a test. Now let's get examples, because sometimes I know that you attend a lecture or you attend, you know, a halaqa or a khutbah, and when you are asked, what was it about? It was about patience. MashaAllah. And were you patient during the lecture? I hope so, inshallah. Then the question is, did he exactly tell you examples from your real life? Because sometimes we know the concepts, but when it comes to practicing, we don't know how to do it, right? So now, what is the meaning of to be patient when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? It's human nature that we are sometimes, if not most of the time, if not all the time, that we are lazy, right? After a big meal. So when they say, Asr is coming, you're going to say, inshallah, I'm coming, inshallah, to pray. You see? Oh man, it's time for zakah. I'm going to give all this money? This is human nature. Oh, it's time for hajj. Next year, inshallah. This is human nature. So when it comes to obedience, you should have the patience to go ahead and stop that laziness, stop that stinginess, you know, and be there when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, do, say, I am here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses in the Quran, He addresses us in two ways. He would always say, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Right? O you who believe. The other type of address is, Ya ayyuhannas. O people, or O mankind. Right? So, do you feel a difference when you hear this or when you read this in the Quran? This is, you know, this is the message. If you hear, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, and you feel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you, then iman is up there. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuha nas, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, you don't feel a difference? When Allah says, O mankind, O people, He's talking to believers and disbelievers, to everyone. But when He says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said, look, listen attentively, because Allah will say after that, do or don't do. And that's what I want you to hear, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, starting today, inshallah, with different ears. So when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses us in the Quran, talking about anything that will He command us, so you should always be there and listen and say, oh Allah, I love to be amongst the believers. I am one of the believers. I will do it. You should have the passion to do it. So this is when it comes to obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second type, which is, you know, to have the patience not to disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We all know that we have four enemies in this worldly life. Do you know them? Briefly, because the time is very tight. It's the worldly life. It has lots of temptations. Take this as an enemy because it's very short. You're not living here. You're being tested here. It's a passage for eternal life, inshallah. And this would remind me of the eternal journey, inshallah. Coming soon, okay? Okay, second one. Or am I talking about the second seminar? Like, did you study something about Al-Bukhari? Do you know that there is a seminar coming very soon, inshallah? And the Sheikh is sitting with us in the corner over there, okay? So the second enemy of us is Shaitan. Shaitan. Take him as an enemy. Because Allah told us, فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوَّ. But you know what we do? Like he comes and whispers like, you know, yeah. Yeah, what more? Yeah, I'm going, inshallah. You see? Subhanallah, you start the prayer, Allahu Akbar. There is a special shaitan. You know, he comes like, you know, what are you going to do? After Asr, you go and listen to this boring person again? You should just, you know, go home and have some rest. Like, you know, oh, you need to stop at the superstore. You have no sugar. Malik yawm al-din. And subhanAllah, if you are praying alone, this is exactly what happens at the end of the salah. You say, As-salam. Did I pray three or four? Allah ghafur rahim. Allah doesn't even need my prayer. You know? But when you come to eat, look at the fights. The husband is going to say, why are you putting too much salt here? Don't you know that I have acidity? You want to get rid of me? SubhanAllah, why all the senses are there when you are eating? But when you are praying, you're absent-minded. So shaitan is an enemy. Take him as an enemy. Number three is your hawa. Hawa means your whims and desires. Let me ask you a question. This is the scenario. You're sitting alone in your room. And then, you know, the Quran is put on the top of the TV in a box. And it was never opened like the last 36 years. And then the TV screen is on 36 hours a day. I don't know how, but like this is what happened. And the remote control is in your hands. And then every one of us, you heard yesterday when we were talking about, you know, قَالَ قَرِينُهُ وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ. Like every one of us has an angel with him and has a shaitan with him. So the angel will always try to invite you to do something good. And your shaitan will always try to invite you to do something bad. And you're struggling between the two. And this is their testimony on the Day of Judgment. وَقَالَ قَرِينُهُ قَالَ قَرِينُهُ in Surah Qaf. So what happens? You sit there, and then the angel will come to you. It's like, no, you should read some Quran. Say, yeah, let me go. And then Shaitan was going to say, have some fun. You just came back from work. You need to take two steps back. And then you say, but you know what? You haven't read Quran for a long time, and you're like, you attended the seminar. Like, let's go, yeah. And then Shaitan is going to say, yeah, inshallah, you read Quran, but you're tired. If you're reading now, you're not going to concentrate. And you have, you know, you have to reflect. You know, he told you, you have to reflect when you read the Quran. It's like, yeah, three steps back. And then you end up like deciding, what am I going to do? You have some fun. Inshallah, inshallah, 5 minutes. And you start the TV, right? This is your hawa, your desires. You're listening to your desire. And then, subhanAllah, you end up sleeping on the couch and your mom will come after, or your husband, or your... After 5 hours, like, you know, why are you sleeping on the couch? And you have been sitting there for 5 hours instead of 5 minutes. Why? Because, again, you were tempted by your desires. Now let's go back. Who is the last enemy? The fourth enemy is your nafs, your own self. What are you talking about? Yes, your own self. So how can I differentiate between the talk or the whispering that comes from shaitan and the whispering that comes from my nafs, just to stop the questions. You know, when It's the same thing most of the time. It's coming from your nafs, like committing the same sin. Like, you know, being addicted to the TV, regardless of the garbage that you will be watching, regardless of the waste of time that you will be wasting. You know, if it's the same desire, it's always a desire. That's your nafs. But if it's like something different, because shaitan doesn't care, he wants to misguide you anyway. If it doesn't work this way, he will come you to this way. He will come you another way. If you are, mashallah, if you pray, he's going to say, okay, why don't you, inshallah, adjust your clock and pray, inshallah, qiyamul layl today. And then you say, yeah, I should do that. And then you will start up praying at 3 o'clock. And let's say Fajr at 4:15. Then you're going to be praying qiyamul layl until 3:30. And then you feel so tired. So shaitan is going to say, you're tired. And Allah is the all merciful. Just sleep for half an hour. And you know what happens after that. So shaitan make you do nawafil and you will miss the fard. So he will always trick you anyway. So if he doesn't come to you through doubts, which is shubuhat, he'll come to you through shahawat. If it doesn't work this way, eat too much and then you wouldn't be able to work hard. So what are our four enemies? Four. Okay, dunya, shaitan, hawa, nafs. Okay, this is how you can stop, inshallah, disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also bad company. Now the third type of sabr or patience is as-sabr ala qadar Allah azza wa jal. We all know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has his infinite wisdom behind anything that he does. And we will notice this, inshallah, when we always read the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of every verse. They are there for a reason. They are not randomly there. They mean something. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom behind everything that he does. And Allah told us in the Quran, in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 155, that he will test us. And these are the tests when it comes to the Qadr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ. So the first test would be, fear, then jua, hunger, and then وَنَقْصٍ مِّنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ. What are the other areas? Money or property, wealth, people that are beloved to you, and الثَّمَرَاتِ, here again, talking to the people who are, like we're Arabs, like the crops that they will get, like, you know, the sustenance that they will have. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, at the end of this, he said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Give glad tidings to the patient. Who are they? Underline this coming, you know, phrase. It's very important because it sums up exactly the faith of a believer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا. Those when afflicted with a calamity, they say, this is the phrase, إِنَّا لِلَّهِ. What does it mean? We are made by Allah. We came to this life. Who brought us to life? Who gave us life? Who gave us everything? Allah, we belong to him. And then he says, وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ. This is a summary of your life. And to him shall be our return. So that's it. Allah gave you everything and he's going to test you. If he claims something back, how would you react? Ew, it's mine. Why, Allah? You can't say this. And this is why he said, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Okay, so these are the three types of sabr. The next question would be, what's the virtue? I want to be amongst the patient. I want to learn all the lessons in Surah Yusuf, inshallah. So I want to be amongst the patients. What shall I get if I will be amongst the patient? What's the first thing? First thing, the reward will be doubled from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And listen to this beautiful verse in the Quran. It's one of my favorite verses that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and it's Surah Az-Zumar. Verse number 10, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا يُوَفَّى الصَّابِرُونَ أَجْرَهُمْ بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. The patient will be taken right away to paradise without reckoning. What about this? People will be standing there and they will be scared. They don't know what will happen to them. But the patient will go directly. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, without reckoning, بِغَيْرِ حِسَابٍ. Some of the other interpreters, they said, بِغَيْرِ حِسَاب means, you know, the amount of deeds that you have done in this life wouldn't deserve the status that you will be in paradise. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala treats us But how do we treat him back when he gives us everything? The second reward is ma'iyatullah, meaning the company of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Can you imagine that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be your company if you are amongst the patient? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 153. Allah said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الصَّابِرِينَ. Indeed, Allah is with those who are patient. This is the second virtue. Look at that reward. مَعِيَّةُ اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. And the third reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is you will be granted the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. Allah will love you if you are amongst the patient. And the verses in Ali Imran, surah number 3, and the verses 146. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ. Verily, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who are patient. Look at those three rewards from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one verse. You know the verses that we read before? وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to test us? This is 155 in Surah Al-Baqarah. 156, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala defined those who are patient, those who would say, we belong to Allah and to Him shall be our return. The next verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the patient three rewards. Write them down. He said, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّن رَبِّهِمْ. You will deserve salah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this means forgiveness. وَرَحْمَةٌ. Mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ. And you'll get the guidance. You'll get the hidayah from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, we defined the word patience at the beginning linguistically, and I think I forgot to define it technically, which is very important. So we said, when it comes to patience, it applies to the tongue, the heart, and the body. What does this mean? How can I be patient? By my tongue, by not complaining to other than Allah. By not complaining to other than Allah. And this is what we mean, inshallah, when we come to this. Sabrun jameel. This is the meaning of beautiful patience. The Prophet ﷺ said, "Huwa sabru alladhi la shakwa ma'a." When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, what does this mean? He said, it's patience with which you don't complain. And of course, the meaning here is, we can complain to Allah. Because we will hear Ya'qub ﷺ is going to say, towards the end of the surah, he's going to say, "Innama ashku bathi wa huzni ila Allah." Indeed, I am complaining my anguish and grief to Allah. So you can complain to Allah, but you can't complain to human beings. But we'll talk about details in this area, inshallah. Now, what about the heart? It's one of the acts of worship of the heart. Can I worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with my heart? Yes. They said, الرضَى عن الله عز وجل. To be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It means when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests you with something, you don't say, why me, Allah? I'm a Muslim. I pray 7 times a day. This is what some people would do, you know, would say at that point of time. So again, you can say, why Allah? Why? Because Allah Himself said, لا يسأل عما يفعل وهم يسألون. Allah is not to be questioned about anything that He does. Because as I told you before, He has a wisdom. And how many times in your life, by the way, how many times it happens that something bad happens to you and you are very sad, subhanAllah, at the time. And later on, when you look back, you say, Alhamdulillah, you know, I repented and I go back to the straight path because of that incident. So, Wallahu ya'lam wa antum la ta'lamun. Allah knows, but you don't know. And how many times Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ends many verses in the Quran like this? Let me share two of them with you. One in Al-Baqarah number 30 and one in Al-Baqarah again, 216. The one in Al-Baqarah 30, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking to the malaika. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. What was the answer? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said He's going to create Adam, they said, أَتَجْعَلُ فِيهَا مَنْ يُفْسِدُ فِيهَا وَيَسْفِكُ الدِّمَاءِ. Would you create someone who would, you know, start bloodshed and corruption on earth? وَنَحْنُ نُسَبِّحُ بِحَمْدِكَ وَنُقَدِّسُ لَكَ. What was the answer from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? قَالَ إِنِّي أَعْلَمُ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. So respect the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is infinite in His knowledge and His wisdom. So whatever happens to you, say, Alhamdulillah. And smile. Yeah, I share this with the brothers, the Ansar. I like the name Ansar. Because I did hijrah from BC to them, and mashallah, they welcomed me. And now I'm here trying to get back to the glory of Islam with Al-Majd. Working together with Al-Huda, mashallah. Nice names, guidance, mashallah. Very inspiring names. I was teaching at Wake Forest University in North Carolina. As Brother Omar said, he said, I graduated. This was just a slip of the tongue. Also, I didn't spend 12 years. It was like 4 to 5 years. This was like a mistake. So I was teaching at Wake Forest University, and most of my colleagues there, they used to see me smiling. And I usually ask my students, like, you know, why are you frowning? And then they said, like, why are you always smiling? I said, why are you always frowning? Like, is it the norm to be frowning? Yes, because people live here in depression and recession. Right? They are not pleased with the qadr of Allah. But we as Muslims, everything that comes, we say with a smile. Right? Your husband will be giving you a hard time. And somebody else comes like, how are you? Alhamdulillah. Right? You will lose your job. And somebody comes like, how are you? Alhamdulillah. Right? Like you get something, a gift from, like, you know, your parents, like back home. It's like, you know, how do you feel today? Alhamdulillah. So subhanAllah, you will never say, like other people, they meet you in the street, like, you know, how are you? Not too bad. What is that? Not too bad. SubhanAllah. And subhanAllah, when I walk in the street, especially if I'm walking with Brother Naveed or Sheikh Waleed, and you know how people will receive you here in North America? Look at me, they will do this. Do you know what does this mean? We know that you're a tourist. Are we in peace with you? And I do like this. No. SubhanAllah. When we smile as Muslims, we mean it. Wallahi, we mean it. Anyway. So, we said that the tongue, the heart, and the body. And we're talking about the heart. You have to be pleased with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if anything happens to you, you shouldn't have that feeling inside, like, you know, why Allah? Why me? Say, it's good for me. I don't know the wisdom now. Because the verse in 216, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, He was talking to the people of Badr. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْقِتَالِ When they left Medina, accompanying the Prophet ﷺ, their intention was to stop the caravan, claim their money back, and go home. Right? But it turned out to be a battle. And they will fight. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَهُوَ كُرْهُ لَكُمْ Some of you, you know, wish to stop the caravan, but not to fight. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ Sometimes you dislike something, but it's good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا Sometimes, no, I want to marry this man. And you know, your parents know. They know things that you don't know. They are more experienced, okay? I want to marry this sister, like, you know, accept the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay? I want to join that flight. You don't know what will happen. And when you miss that flight, you become very sad. And this is exactly what happened with a friend. Like, you know, he was a flight attendant, and he made sure, because he was going to be promoted after that flight, like, you know, that everything is done to secure the fact that he will wake up to go and join that flight. And subhanAllah, he had 3 clocks adjusted next to his bed. And he asked like 3 more friends, you know, to give him, like, to call him on his cell phone. And he asked his mom to wake him up. And subhanAllah, the 3 clocks went off. And, you know, later on he found them, you know, like at the neighbors, like he threw them out of the window when they went off. The cell phone was underneath the bed, you know, broken. And his mom was still alive, you know. She tried like 5 times, but he wouldn't wake up. And then he missed the flight. So when he woke up, it's like, you know, oh my God, I missed the flight. Mom, didn't I ask you to wake me up? It's like, I did 5 times. It's like, where is my cell phone? It's underneath the bed. Anyway, he was so sad and he was so mad. And then his wife, you know, his mother said, you know, قَدَّرَ اللَّهُ مَا شَاءَ فَعَلَ. This is how a believer should react. Like, you know, this is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's like, you know, but, she said, but me, no buts. It's qadr. Just take it. And subhanAllah, he said, okay, let me go to bed again. And then half an hour later, one of his friends called him at home. And when they called, like, you know, his mom picked up. So like, you know, is Imad here? She said, yes. He said, Alhamdulillah. He said, why? He said, because the flight he was supposed to join, like there was an air crash and all the people died. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. You might dislike something, but it's good for you. You're safe, right? Subhanallah. So again, but at the moment, you feel like, you know, I missed the flight. I'm not going to be promoted. You know, when you get promoted and you go to the grave, or you rather live and still go, inshallah, and join the next flight. You see what I'm saying? So subhanAllah, we have to believe in Qadr. And this is why we say, the heart should be pleased with anything that happens to you in your life. And you can't come to that point until you really submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah will always choose the best for you. Rest assured that Allah will choose the best for you. Even though if it sounds like, you know, hard at the time. And then, al-jawarih, the body. When a calamity hits you, what should you do? Some people will start, you know, tearing their clothes and doing this, like, you know, what is that? Why Allah? And then at the end of this, they're going to say, Allahumma ja'alna min as-sabri. And this is why when the Prophet ﷺ was walking amongst the graves and he saw a woman and she was doing the same thing. She was tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and she lost her husband. So she was saying things that she shouldn't say. And then the Prophet ﷺ said, اتق الله واصبري. Be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be patient. She looked at him like, you know, إليك عني فإنك لم تصب بمصيبتي. Like, you know, turn away from my face. You have not been afflicted with the calamity that I have been hit with. She didn't know that he was the Prophet. And then the Prophet ﷺ just walked away. And I stop here and ask myself, if I were in the shoes of the Prophet ﷺ and I was making da'wah, and somebody reacted like this to me, would I just walk away? I'm going to say, you ignorant. I'm trying to teach you, and you're just doing this to me? Well, I stopped there when I was at the beginning of da'wah, and I said, like, no, what if somebody reacted to me like this? How would I react? And this is a lesson from the Prophet ﷺ, the best da'iyah. You know, when you do da'wah for Allah, take the insult and walk away. Expect that from people. So the Prophet ﷺ walked away and they said, like, do you know who was this? She said, no, she said, this is the Prophet of Allah. So she walked all the way and she went to the house of the Prophet ﷺ and she said, I didn't find any guards there. So she made her way through into the house of the Prophet ﷺ and she said, Prophet of Allah, forgive me, I didn't know it was you. He said, إنما الصبر عند الصدمة الأولى. He said, patience, and you have to know this. Patience is when the calamity hits you, you just be patient. Don't say anything that shouldn't be said. What should I say then? Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. Remember this word. To Allah we belong and to Him shall be our return. And then it would say, O Allah, I seek reward from you for my patience. Replace me with something better. That's what you should say. And subhanAllah, the best example would be Abu Salama and Umm Salama. Subhanallah. Abu Salama, while he was on the deathbed, this is exactly the dua he made. He said, Allahumma khlufni fi ahli khayran minni. O Allah, replace me with another one who is better than me for my wife. Would the brothers do this today? SubhanAllah. He was making dua. He said, O Allah, replace me with a better one for my wife. And subhanAllah. Look at the believing wife, Umm Salama radiallahu anha. She said, Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'u. To Allah, we belong, and to Allah shall be our return. O Allah, I seek reward from you for my patience. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responded to both of their dua. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, rewarded her with Prophet Muhammad sallam marrying her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listened to the dua of Abu Salama himself because he replaced him with Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then the last thing I want to share with you here, inshallah, is two things. Something that Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu anhu said, and areas where we can complain sometimes, but it doesn't mean that we are complaining from Allah. We can complain to Allah, yet we can also sometimes complain to people, but not that to show that we are not satisfied with the qadr of Allah. For example, I'll give you an example. And the hadith is in Muslim. Aisha radiallahu anha, one time she had a headache. And she said, wa ra'sa. Like, no, the headache was really very severe. So she put her hand on her head and she's like, no, wa ra'sa, oh my head. And the Prophet said, bal ana wallahi ya Aisha wa ra'sa. My headache is more severe than yours. So the scholar said, if Aisha said this and the Prophet ﷺ didn't say anything, in fact, he responded with saying to her too, that also I have a headache which is more severe than yours. So for example, if somebody comes to you in the hospital and you say, how do you feel? Like, I feel awesome. You're dying. You know? You're waiting for a surgery. It's like, you know, there is nothing, alhamdulillah, there is nothing. No, we're not asking you to lie. But the question is, you can say, alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing me with this and this. Not that you are complaining. You see what I'm saying? So this is allowed, inshallah. Last thing, Umar radiallahu anhu, record what he said. Subhanallah, he said, مَا أَصَابَنِي مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا وَحَمَدْتُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعٍ. Look at this. Any hardship, any test that I would be put through, or any calamity that would hit me, I would thank Allah. Look at us. Do we thank Allah for the musibah, for the test? Or at least we feel sad. He said, I thank Allah. So let's take it to the next level and thank Allah when we are tested. He said, إِلَّا وَحَمَدْتُ اللَّهَ عَلَىٰ أَرْبَعَ. I would thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and be grateful to him for four reasons. And he would say, الْأُولَى أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ فِي دِينِي. The first, that the test was not in my deen. Because if you lose your deen, you lose everything. وَالثَّانِيَ أَنَّهَا لَمْ تَكُنْ أَكْبَرَ مِنْهَا. And the second reason, it could have been worse. Alhamdulillah. If I lost a hand, I still have another hand and two, you know, legs. وَالثَّالِثَ أَنَّهَا كَفَّارَةٌ لِذَنْبِي. The third reason, it's expiation for my sins. Allah will forgive my sins if I'm patient. وَالرَّابِعَ أَنَّ كُلَّ مُصَابٍ بَعْدَ فَقْدِ النَّبِي صلى الله عليه وسلم يهون. And the fourth is, the loss of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is the greatest loss. Anything that would happen to you in life is nothing compared to the loss of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just when anything happens to you, compare it to the loss of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is how Umar radiallahu anhu was teaching us this. Ready for Surah Yusuf? Let's go, inshallah. You know, we were just trying to, again, elicit the main theme of Surah Yusuf. It's patience. I want this to be in the background, inshallah, of your mind. Yes? Can you speak up, please? The fourth point? The four points of Umar or? Oh, radiallahu anhu. Okay. He said, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tests me, I would thank him for four things or for four reasons. He said, Al-Ula, annaha lam takun fi dini. The first, because it was not a test in my faith, in my religion. I said, like, because if you lose your faith, if you lose your religion, you lost everything. والثانية أنها لم تكن أكبر منها. It could have been worse. So I thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. والثالثة أنها كفارة لذنبي. It's expiation for my sins. It's forgiveness for my sins if I'm patient. والرابعة أن كل مصاب بعد فقد النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يهون. Any test that will come to me, anything that I lose in this life compared to the loss of Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم is nothing. So this gives you, again, a reason for patience, inshallah. Is that okay? Okay. So we stopped last time at, we said, what Ya'qub alayhi salam is going to say to Yusuf when he related the dream to him, right? And we just want to agree about a name that we will use together, inshallah, in the forums and when I see you again, inshallah. What is the name of Surah Yusuf? Like, let's give it another name that was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. MashaAllah. This is a special one, okay? So when we say Ahsan al-Qasas, this is a description by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Surah Yusuf. That's what I'm doing. Okay. You have to play soccer with me next time, okay? Stop playing basketball. So We are back, inshallah, to Ahsan al-Qasas, the best of stories. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who is going to relate that story to us. And by the way, is it permissible to derive one of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from any verb in the Quran when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, نَحْنُ نَقُصْ, we relate to you. Can we call Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala qassas? No, never. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيَمْكُرُونَ وَيَمْكُرُ اللَّهِ. Can we take a name from that? No. It's only when it comes to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ar-Rahman, Ar-Rahim, Al-Ghafoor. But we don't do that. Okay? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us now what would be the reaction of Ya'qub alayhi salam after he heard the dream that Yusuf alayhi salam saw. Where would you classify the dream of Yusuf alayhi salam? Is it going to be the first, second, or third that we shared last time? Third dream, the good dream, right? We're talking about a child here. He's not a prophet yet, right? But still, this is a good dream. What was the reaction? He said, قَالَ يَا بُنَيْ. And let's stop at the word بُنَيْ. It's the diminutive form of the word ibn. Ibn means son. And subhanAllah, if you go through the Quran, comparing the word بُنَيْ to the word ibn, usually بُنَيْ gives you the connotations of tenderness and love. Because it's the diminutive form. Okay, so when I want to call my son and I say, Ya Bunay, he's like, he's closer to my heart. And I'm showing that he's like, he's still young. And this is also another indication that Yusuf alayhi salam was still young and he needed the love. Okay? So he said, Ya Bunay. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, yeah, you know, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used the word Ibn, look at this. Nuh alayhi salam, when he was talking to his son and he was trying to ask him to join him in the ark or the ship to be saved, he said, Ya Bunayya irkab ma'ana. Ya Bunayya irkab ma'ana. Like, you know, my dear little son, come and join us. But when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, was talking to Nuh alayhi salam and he told him that he's a disbeliever. Subhanallah. When he addressed Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, Nuh alayhi salam said, قَالَ رَبِّي إِنَّ بْنِي مِنْ أَهْلِ. He didn't say the diminutive form, which is بُنَي. إِنَّ بُنَيَّ مِنْ أَهْلِ. So when we're talking about believers, dearer to their parents, we'll use the word بُنَي, which is the diminutive form of the word ibn. So بُنَي is تَصْغِير. Okay? لَا تَقْصُصْ رُؤْيَاكَ عَلَىٰ إِخْوَتِكَ. Do not inform your brothers of that dream. We said رؤياك, right? Take the calf out, because this is, he was addressing Yusuf. The calf is for Yusuf, okay? And then رؤيا, right? With the alif. It means he saw this in the dream, right? Okay. لا تقصص رؤياك على إخوتك. Why? He said فيكيدوا لك كيدا. What's the meaning of the word كيد? Plot. They say in Arabic the word كيد, it means احتيال مستور لمن لا يقوى على المواجهة. What does this mean? Somebody who is weak and he doesn't know how to confront the person, he will plot in the dark behind the back of that person. That's the meaning of the word كيد. If you have the courage enough, if you are brave enough, you will confront the person. But those people who plot behind the back, it's because they don't have the courage to confront. So if they were courageous enough, they would just come and talk to him. But he said, فَيَكِيدُوا لَكَ كَيْدًا. And the concept of كَيْدًا, we don't have this in English. Like, it's confirmation. We call this in Arabic, مَفْعُول مُطْلَق. You know, which is like, you know, when we use the verb and the مَفْعُول مُطْلَق, it like, it confirms. Like, you know, they will plot something against you. And again, كَيْدًا would be like a plot. As if we're saying, they will concoct a plot for you. And subhanAllah, look at Ya'qub alayhi salam, look at the language of prophethood. He didn't blame his sons. Why? Because they are the asbat. His sons are the asbat. And he said, إِنَّ الشَّيْطَانَ لِلْإِنسَانِ عَدُوهُمْ مُبِينَ. Who will tempt them to plot against you? Shaytan. Why? Because as I told you yesterday, Shaytan, one of his jobs is that he causes animosity between people. And I told you, he does this even through the dreams. as I shared with you yesterday. Okay? Now, this is the first time, subhanAllah, that we hear about the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salam. So the first time we hear about them is that once they will know this, they will plot something evil against Yusuf. So subhanAllah, this is their first introduction in the surah. So how would you feel about them? Bad people, right? And subhanAllah, they will say, kill him later on, slay him, right? So are they very evil people? Are they criminals? We'll answer this question soon, inshallah. So the word asbad that I mentioned now is mentioned in the Quran 5 times. And one of them, the reference is made to the sons of Yaqub alayhi salam. Okay? So two times in Surah Al-Baqarah, you know, verse 136 and 140. And one time in Surah Ali Imran, which is verse number 84. And one time in Surah Al-Nisa, and the verse is 163. And the last one is in Surah Al-A'raf 160. And this is the one that refers, the one in Surah Al-A'raf is the one that refers to al-asbat. وَقَطَّعْنَاهُمْ 12 أَصْبَاطَ أُمَمًا. That's what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. Now, let's move on and talk about the interpretation of Yusuf's dream. وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. Who's speaking here? وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ. Who's talking here? Ya'qub alayhi salam. Okay, by the way, usually when we mention the name of a prophet, we have to say even the word prophet at the beginning and then alayhi salam at the end, out of respect. You know, it's not befitting even to say Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. You know, usually you have to say Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam. Okay, even when you talk in Arabic, you say An-Nabi sallallahu alayhi salam. You can't just say Muhammad like this. Okay? And when you hear his name, you have to say sallallahu alayhi salam. Then Prophet Yaqub alayhi salam said, وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ مِنْ تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ. He said, وَكَذَلِكَ, and thus. SubhanAllah, in continuation from his talk about the dream, يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ. What's the meaning of يَجْتَبِيكَ? Select you, right? Raise you in rank. Choose you from amongst people. You'll have a special status. How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does this to people? How does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raise the status of people? Listen to the next part. وَيُعَلِّمُكَ. So stop here and write this as a gem. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to raise you, He will guide you to come and share knowledge and learn your deen. And this is exactly what the Prophet ﷺ said. And Sheikh Yasser shared this with you. In the hadith where the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ يُرِدِ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا يُفَقِّهُ فِي الدِّينِ. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants goodness for you, He will teach you the understanding of your deen. And this is why you are here. So revive that intention, inshallah, so that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's a sign that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. Both, inshallah. But we're saying how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said here, when it comes to knowledge, because the knowledge here will guide you to do good things here and lead a righteous life here, which will end you, inshallah, safely with the eternal journey into Montreal. Paradise, inshallah. I'm talking about the next course. So he said, وَيُعَلِّمُكَ. So this stresses the importance of knowledge. Knowledge is very important. So if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guides you to learn, especially your deen, this means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves you. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is selecting you from amongst many people. There are many people outside, okay, who wish to be here, right? But something prevented them. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says at the end of a long hadith, He says, Ya ibadi, in hiya illa a'malukum. O my servants, it's only your deeds. Uhsiha lakum. I keep record of them. Remember the ayah that we recited yesterday? مَا يَلْفِظُ مِنْ قَوْلٍ إِلَّا لَدَيْهِ رَقِيبٌ عَتِيدٌ. Whatever an utterance that you make, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is keeping two angels here to keep a record of that. And then He said, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ خَيْرًا. If he finds something good in that record, فَلْيَحْمَدِ اللَّهِ. Don't thank yourself. Thank Allah, because Allah brought you here. How did you come here, brother? By bus. No. I know the bus is the means of transportation. Who guided your heart to come here and benefit? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you have to thank Allah for everything good, because Allah guided you. And then he said, وَمَنْ وَجَدَ غَيْرَ ذَلِكَ, if you find anything bad in your record, فَلَا يَلُومَنَّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. Don't blame anyone but yourself. مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ. Anything good that happens to you, it's from Allah. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِي. If anything bad happens to you, it's because of you. And this is why usually I ask people to change this gun. Usually when something bad happens, like, you know, it's you. It's you. It's you, right? And you forget that one finger is pointing at people, but three are pointing at you. No, it's me. It's me. It's me, right? When we do this, inshallah, we'll change. So start, you know, pointing at yourself first, and you'll change, inshallah. So وَكَذَلِكَ يَجْتَبِيكَ رَبُّكَ وَيُعَلِّمُكَ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises you by guiding you to seek knowledge, inshallah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will select Yusuf by teaching him. Teaching him what? He will be a prophet, of course. But like, he has something very special too. تَأْوِيلِ الْأَحَادِيثِ, which means interpretation of dreams. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَيُتِمُّ نِعْمَتَهُ عَلَيْكَ, and he will perfect his ni'mah, blessing, on you. وَعَلَىٰ آلِ يَعْقُوبُ, and the family or the household of Ya'qub alayhi salam, كَمَا أَتَمَّهَا, as he perfected his blessings, عَلَىٰ أَبَوَيْكَ مِنْ قَبْلِ. Let's stop at the word أَبَوَيْكَ. أَبَوَيْكَ means, literally it means your parents. Literally. So this is why I'm saying, usually in the Quran, do not translate things literally. Ab means father. Means mother. Okay. And al-aba means the parents. But here it means your forefathers. Right? Your grandfathers. So don't translate things literally. So because here we're talking about abawayka min qabl, before Ibrahim wa Ishaq. Who is Ibrahim? Alayhi salam. He's the grandfather of Yaqub. And who is Ishaq alayhi salam? He's the father of Yaqub. So they are not the direct fathers of Yusuf alayhi salam. They're the forefathers. Okay? So don't translate things literally in the Quran. Now the question is, what is that ni'mah? What's that blessing? What's that ni'mah? Prophethood, mashallah. It's the nubuwah, that he would be a prophet. Because Ibrahim alayhi salam was a prophet, Ishaq alayhi salam was a prophet, Yaqub alayhi salam was a prophet, and Yusuf alayhi salam became a prophet. And this is why the Prophet, when he talked about Yusuf, he said, Al Kareem ibn al Kareem ibn al Kareem ibn al Kareem. Meaning, you know, the noble or the most noble, who's the son of the most noble, who's the son of the most noble, who's the son of the most noble, because it's a lineage of prophets. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ عَلِيمٌ حَكِيمٌ. And as I told you before, every single time you find attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of a verse, they have something to do with the verse itself. They're not just chosen randomly, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses them for wisdom. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ رَبَّكَ, indeed your Lord, your Rabb, عَلِيم, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows everything, and he knows what will be the best for people, and he knows, you know, what to choose for people, and he knows everything about the universe and about all of his creation. And then Hakim, he's the all-wise. He knows how to choose the right person for the right job. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a wisdom behind everything that he does. So he's the all-knowing, he's the all-wise. لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Indeed, in Yusuf and his brothers, there are ayat. Okay, we talked about ayat before. Oh, let's have some candy here. Special ones, okay? We said ayat comes in the Quran. Don't go back to the notes, okay? Ayat comes in the Quran in three senses, right? With three meanings. Okay, we'll take... Like, where did we end last time? With a brother. So let's take a sister. That's the first hand. Yes? actual verses, that's fine. Jazakallah khair. So, and this is the for the next one, inshallah. Now, what's the second one? Yes, sister? Signs? Give me an example. Okay, signs of what? Just complete the phrase, because I added something when I said signs. In the universe, right? Like the moon, the sun. Okay. We'll give you a candy, but eat half of it, inshallah. Okay. Now, yes, brother? A miracle, mashallah. A miracle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to support his prophets with, right? Because when all prophets were human beings, including Isa alayhi salam, right? So when they come to people and it's like, you know, I'm a messenger, it's like, you know, how can you prove it? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would support him with a miracle. And this is ayah also. What is the meaning of ayat here? What is the meaning of ayat here? Yes? It is? Okay. So, signs to Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Who can share something else? Yes? Okay. Again, I can just combine the two because, as we said before, the Prophet ﷺ knew nothing about Yusuf ﷺ before the revelation of this surah, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, as if the Jews, when they told, because it was in their book, and they told the disbelievers of Mecca, and they sent them to ask the questions, and they know about the story, and they went to ask the Prophet ﷺ, and they said, like, you know, what do you know about Yusuf? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I'm going to support you. Here's the story. Okay? That's one meaning. Another meaning is, there are lessons. There are lessons. And this would be like a fourth meaning for the word ayah. There are many lessons that will be derived from the story of Yusuf alayhi salam and his brothers. Yes? MashaAllah. Great. Forgiveness. This is one of the lessons, inshallah, that we will, you know, keep talking about, inshallah, during the surah. Do you think we'll finish the surah, inshallah? We're going to give you the, you know, a taste of the surah. But those, inshallah, who would like to continue the surah, they have to come next year, okay? Can we finish Surah Yusuf in 7 hours? Are you kidding me? It needs 70 hours. I told the brother 70 hours, but didn't notice the zero there, you know? So I'm going to finish as much as I can, okay? Now, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala even uses the word ayah in the Quran in the singular, but it doesn't mean singular. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for example, I'm going to give you this verse in Surah Al-Mu'minun, which is chapter 23, and the ayah is number 50. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was talking about Isa alayhi salam and his mother. And he said, وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ وَجَعَلْنَا ابْنَ مَرْيَمَ وَأُمَّهُ آيَةً. Now, let's stop here. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, we made the son of Mary and his mother ayah, which is a miracle, right? Again, is it one ayah? Is it one miracle? No, it's two. How can you say that? Because she gave birth without a husband, right? And he also was born without a father. And he talked in the cradle. There are lots of it, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't say ayatayn. He could have said ayatayn. So some scholars of tafsir, they said, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ, they said, like every day that we will share in the life of Yusuf alayhi salam through the surah, there are lessons for you to drive. And this is why the sister said, like, forgiveness. We'll come across many things. And we'll share, like, you know, one of them right now, inshallah. Yusufa wa ikhwati. How many brothers did Yusuf have? 11. Okay. One from the same mother and 10 from another one. Oh, stop here. So it was not Prophet Muhammad who started polygamy. That's what people say, right? They say Prophet Muhammad, like Islam started polygamy. So Yaqub was married to more than one. I know that you believe in Tawheed, right? In monotheism, right? Okay, so the question here is, he was married to more than one. And people usually say Islam was the religion that started with polygamy. And I would say, yes, because Islam is the religion of all prophets. Islam started with Adam. But if you mean Islam started with Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you are wrong. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran, Surah number 3, verse number 19, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Indeed, the religion with Allah is Islam. From the beginning of life till the end. You need another proof? The same surah. Surah Ali Imran and the ayahs number 85. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْ وَهُوَ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Anyone who would embrace any religion other than Islam, it will not be accepted from him on the day of judgment, and he would be amongst the losers. So how come that Islam is the religion with Allah, and people say Prophet Muhammad came up with Islam? Prophet Muhammad did not introduce any new religion. He's a continuation of the same message of all prophets. All prophets came to people to say, submit to Allah. And this is the meaning of Islam linguistically. Islam means submission. Worship only one God, and this is your salvation. So, was Musa alayhi salam Yahudi? No, he was a Muslim. Was Yaqub alayhi salam Yaqubi? No, he was a Muslim. Was Noah Anohi? He was a Muslim. You see what I'm saying? All prophets are Muslims. And subhanAllah, you will see this in the Quran. You want another proof? Okay, go to the Quran. Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 128. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ismail and Ibrahim alayhim as-salam, they were building the Kaaba. And while they were building the Kaaba, they made a dua. They said, Rabbana waj'alna muslimayni lak. Oh Allah, make us. And unfortunately, the translation would say Muslims. And I say, that's wrong. This is why people think the Prophet Muhammad is the only one who started Islam. It means submissive to you. Submit to you. Because if you say Muslims, they're going to say, was Prophet Muhammad there yet? That's what they would say, right? So my question is, like, they said, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ وَمِنْ ذُرِّيَّتِنَا and out of our descendants, أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ an ummah that would submit to you. وَوَصَّى بِهَا يَعْقُوبُ بَنِي سبحان الله. يَا بَنِيَّ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ. In the Quran again, Ya'qub alayhi salam was talking to his sons. Allah has chosen the religion for you. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ. Again, what's the meaning of Muslimun here? Muslims? In a state of submission to Allah. Yusuf alayhi salam, surah number 12, ayah 101. He's going to make this dua at the end. After Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give him the power, he's going to stay aside and cry and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is why when you are successful, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, makes it up for you and give you what you want at the end of the day, you have to ask Allah for forgiveness. Don't think high of yourself. And attribute the blessing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Rabbi ataytani. من العلم رب أتيتني من الحكم. Okay, somebody here help. رب أتيتني من الملك وعلمتني تأويل الأحاديث فاطر السماوات والأرض توفني. That's the word. توفني. Make me die in a state of submission to you. See what I'm saying? And as we said, عيسى عليه السلام. Oh, he liked it, right? عيسى عليه السلام, when he comes back and people will ask him, what's your religion? Is he going to say Christianity? I was worshiping the Christ? He's a Muslim. Okay. So that's what we need to understand this. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لَقَدْ كَانَ فِي يُوسُفَ وَإِخْوَاتِهِ آيَاتٌ لِلسَّائِلِينَ. Who are السائلين? Who are the people who were asking? And what is going to be the plot that the brothers will be plotting? And where are they going to meet? And are they really criminals? Are they professional criminals? How can we judge that? That's what we will know, inshallah, after the Asr.